Bhattacharya's residence, the set of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's residence. And Sarvabhauma, of course, as we heard, when Lord Chaitanya fainted, unconscious, went into a very deep trance in the Jagannath temple on seeing Lord Jagannath, Sarvabhauma was present and he brought him back very carefully, very, very carefully to here. And then he did everything he could to try to revive his consciousness. But as you can imagine, Sarvabhauma was an impersonalist. He was a Mayavad. So he wasn't able to actually break the into the transcendental emotional state of Mahaprabhu until his four followers who were with him, Nityananda, Damodar, Jagadananda and Mukunda arrived, and when they saw Lord Chaitanya's mood, then they immediately began kirtan. And after some time, Lord Chaitanya returned to external consciousness. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was, he realized that he was a relative, as like a relative of this beautiful sannyasi from Navadvip, because he was very close friends of Nilambara Chakravarti, who was grandfather of Lord Chaitanya. And so he took a very loving paternal interest in Lord Chaitanya, this young sannyasi, only 24 years old, so attractive, so handsome, so beautiful, so effulgent. And how was he going to keep his vows? He's so appealing to women. What will happen? So he thought, I'll help him because he's taken sannyas somewhat impetuously, so I can teach him Vedanta, and that with all that philosophical understanding and knowledge, he'll be firm and fixed and he'll never have any difficulty. So he wanted to teach him Vedanta. And meanwhile, his brother-in-law, his wife's brother, his name was Gopinathacharya. And both Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Gopinathacharya grew up in Navadvip. But Gopinathacharya was a Vaishnava, and Sarvabhauma was very much absorbed in dry logic and learning. So Gopinath said to his brother-in-law, "My dear brother-in-law, you are so foolish because you're so absorbed in dry learning that you don't actually understand who this is. But this is not an ordinary person. This is actually Bhagawan, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself in the form of a devotee." But Sarvabhauma wouldn't listen. Sarvabhauma, he said, what is his sampradaya? Where did he take sannyas? Oh, he's in the Bharati sampradaya. That's a lesser sannyas order. I will reinitiate him, change his name, reinitiate him into a higher order of sannyas. So this really pained the heart of Gopinathacharya as he heard his like blind brother-in-law going on and on and on how he would improve the status of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way and that way. And Gopinath was really quite frank, and he'd tell his brother, "You're so blind because of the misfortune of your impersonal training and logic. You cannot actually understand. The Supreme Lord is here in your house, and yet you cannot understand. So you're very, very unfortunate." And Sarvabhauma was saying, "You give me the scriptural evidence that this is the Supreme Lord." And Gopinathacharya would. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's students would say, "But where is it said?" On and on and on. So then Lord Chaitanya, he took a very, very submissive frame of mind. And he allowed the Bhattacharya, who was big, big scholar, elderly, wise, learned, Brihaspati in Krishna Lila, the guru of the devas. So he allowed him to take, I think it was 1 week, and he sat very quietly. When very submissive, he said, "Please do not be angry with this. The Bhattacharya, he's trying to train me. This is so important. I accept it. It's his love he's trying to teach me." So he sat down and Bhattacharya talked. And some people say it was at the Jagannath temple. And others say it was here. It's in this place itself that he tried to teach him Vedanta. And he went on and on and on explaining so many things and so many things. And Lord Chaitanya sat there completely quiet, said nothing. Like you could imagine this, like a statue. And if you've ever had the experience of talking to someone, explaining to someone, and they don't make any sign of recognition or understanding, because we tend to sort of go, "Oh," or "Hmm," or some sort of little something, especially when it's only two people talking, there's some sort of registering that goes on. But Lord Chaitanya just sat there as if he was like a statue. And Sarvabhauma went on day after day after day explaining all these different philosophical points to him and Lord Chaitanya. And he thought, is he something maybe wrong with him? He can't understand, or he's a little foolish, or what is this? And so then he very politely said to him, I've been speaking and speaking, but you haven't asked me any questions, you haven't said anything. And Lord Chaitanya didn't speak, and then he said, is there something you don't understand that I can explain to you? And then Lord Chaitanya said to him, I can easily understand the Vedanta Sutra, but your explanation of it is like putting clouds over the sun. I can't understand anything that you're speaking. Everything you're saying is just making the meaning obscure. So Sarvabhauma had never been spoken to like that. So then he said to him, so then what is your opinion? What do you think? To test him. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak, and he spoke very, very simply, but he spoke and spoke and spoke, and he explained his understanding of Vedanta Sutra. And then at the end, he also spoke on this Atmaram verse. He gave very many definitions. I think Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya first spoke on this one particular verse, and he gave 8 or 10 different understandings of using the Sanskrit in different ways. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke, and he gave, I think, 64 different explanations of this verse, saying this word can mean this, 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 or this, and that word can mean that, that, that. If this word means this, then this. If that word means that, then that. And he went on and on talking on this one verse. And Sarvabhauma, who was such a brilliant scholar, he could understand that he had met such an inconceivable intelligence in hearing his description of this verse. And Sarvabhauma then accepted what his brother-in-law had said and understood, yes, this is actually, no one else has the power to speak in this way with so much brilliance than actually the Supreme Lord himself. Sarvabhauma became converted. And the following day when Lord Chaitanya came back from the Jagannath temple, early, early in the morning, he came in and Sarvabhauma was still in bed. And he said, Bhattacharya, get up, please, get up and take some Mahaprasad. And Sarvabhauma jumped up and he immediately put out his hands like that and he took the Mahaprasad. And Lord Chaitanya said, what is this? You're such a dry, rules and regulations, smarter Brahmana, you can't jump up from bed and take prasad, and take your bath, and then after your bath you have to chant these mantras and so on and so forth. And you've just taken Mahaprasadam like this? And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased, and then Sarvabhauma started quoting verses about the glories of Mahaprasadam, that when Mahaprasadam comes, you should take it immediately. And Lord Chaitanya said, this is so wonderful. You were such a dry, parched, intellectual person, and now you have become actually a devotee. And Sarvabhauma became a great devotee, a wonderful devotee, and he wrote one verse on a palm leaf and he gave it to a devotee and said, take this to Mahaprabhu. And when Mukunda, who was one of the devotees with Lord Chaitanya, saw the palm leaf and read it, he was so smart, he was so clever, because he knew what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like. And this verse was in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he knew that when he got the verse, he'd rip it up. So he wrote it on the wall, the verse, very clearly, so that all the devotees could actually go and read this wonderful verse glorifying the merciful nature of Lord Chaitanya. And there's a little, if you look out there, there's a little pit, there's a square hole. And some people say it's a tunnel that Sarvabhauma could go to get to the Gambira. And some people say that he would go to the Jagannath Mandir, but definitely it's going that way. Now it's, of course, all damaged over time. But Sarvabhauma was a very, very close associate of Lord Chaitanya here in Jagannath Puri. So we have to keep an eye on the time. The deities on the altar, one set of deities are deities worshipped by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and one set, I think, they're towards the top, the medium-sized deities, a Radha Rasika Raman. And those deities were worshipped by one very, very exalted Vaishnavi. Her name was Ganga Mata Thakurani. And there's a lot known, actually, there's a whole history of her life. I think she's around about the 1600s, 1700s. But she was a princess from Bengal, and then she left her family and came to live in Vrindavan and begged in Madhukari and begged here and there. She wanted to accept initiation from the priest at that time of the Govindaji temple, whose name was Govinda Haridas, I think, actually. And he first wouldn't accept her. But then later, she was begging and going here and there, and she completely gave up all signs of royalty, all kinds of pride, anything to do with this world. And he became very impressed with her qualities, and he initiated her. And then I think she was Sachi Devi. And then she went to live at Radhakund for 32 years. And when she was reasonably old, her guru sent her here to Jagannath Puri and said, Jagannath Puri, after all the Vaishnavas who were surrounding Lord Chaitanya left, all the devotees left. Now Jagannath Puri is very, very run down and everyone is very morose in Jagannath Puri. You should go there. So she came here and she lived here. And she was very, very advanced. And she would give Bhagavad discourses, and so many people came and they wanted to take initiation from her. And one day, it was Ganga Puja day, and she was thinking that she would like to go and take bath in the Ganges, but the Ganges isn't here in Jagannath Puri. And then in the night, she had a dream. And in the dream, she saw that there was the Ganga and everyone was making noise, and she went to take her bath in the Ganga. But when she woke up from the dream, she found herself actually in the Jagannath temple. She saw that the Ganga swept her in her dream and brought her right into the Jagannath temple. And there she was inside the Jagannath temple in the middle of the night, all alone. The doors are all locked and everything. And all this noise is going on of all these people taking bath in the Ganga. And the guards outside heard all these people in the Jagannath temple, so they came and they actually opened the doors and they saw just this one Mataji is there. And where was all this noise and what was she doing, and maybe she'd come to steal, and so they were very suspicious of her. And so they put her into prison. They put her into confinement. And then the king had a dream and he was told that this woman, she is not an ordinary devotee. She's a very, very exalted soul. And you should take her out immediately or your whole family will be ruined. And when you have released her from prison, you and your family should all take initiation from her. So she became actually the guru of the king at that time. And sometime later, she lived a very, very, very long life. And sometime there was a Brahmin in Rajasthan who was taking care of these deities, Radha Rasik Roy. And he had a dream also that he should take his deities and go to Jagannath Puri and give them to this Ganga Mata. So he came here with the deities, and he was told also in the dream that if she won't accept them, then your family will be in great difficulty. So he's very urgent. So he asked her, please accept these deities. I've had this dream. I'm supposed to deliver these deities to you. And she said, no, I cannot. I'm just living here so poorly. I can't take care of any deities. I do not want to take care of deities. So then he didn't know what to do. So he took the deities and he left him and the deities in a tulsi patch where she was collecting tulsi every day. And he left them there and he left. And so when she came the following morning, she saw the deity was there. So she understood that the deity wanted her service. So she brought the deities and she took care of the deities for, I think, many years, actually. And gradually, as she became older, she absorbed all her time in just taking care of the deities, worshipping the deities, chanting to the deities, serving the deities. And then when she became very, very old and she could no longer serve the deities, then she gave over the service of the deities to her disciples. I think she lived well over 100 years. And her samadhi, they say her samadhi is here, but actually her samadhi is down near near Swagadwar, behind a paint shop. If you go down and you ask them, they will let you go through the shop, and there's an old, old samadhi, which is actually her samadhi. But to this day, they offer something here in her honor, because she was the guru of the king. So these are some of the stories about this particular place. I think we should stop now so that we can make sure we get there on time. But this is a very old and traditional part of Jagannath Puri. Across the road, there is a kund. It's called Sweta Ganga. It isn't connected with any particular known pastimes, but it's a very ancient part of the traditional worship of Lord Jagannath and Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is an extremely old, conventional place. like thousands and thousands and thousands of years people have been coming here and worshipping. But much of the worship is done in the Karmakandya mood, that you are worship and you gain. I worship for my family and I get wealth. I worship and I get a nice wife and so forth. So the mood of the worship for Jagannath is quite different than the mood that Lord Chaitanya presented for those who come in his particular line. But this whole area of Jagannath Puri is extremely steeped in antiquity, practically, of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of generations of people who have come here, served, lived, worshipped Lord Jagannath in different ways. So we have a good fortune to just take a little peep here. So we weren't expecting to come here this morning, but we should now probably go down to the road and get out. So when we go to this place, these devotees, they're very, very nice, the ones I was telling you about before with the cleanliness. If you want to not sort of shock them, it's more the younger devotee who speaks English. He's very nice. Some rules, and don't let your plate touch your body or the mat that you're sitting on. When you get up, don't walk wherever prasadam has been. Don't walk there. You can walk around behind, but don't walk straight over the top. Don't take anything off your plate in any way and give it to someone else. It's considered completely horrible. Of course, that's different for a mother and child. But for two adults, don't ever do that. And be very clean. And as soon as you finish, go and wash your hands nicely and sit somewhere. Don't go and sit back where the prasadam was, because it's a very small place. And we'll all learn something from their high standards. Don't use your left hand in any way. Don't.